The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the program underway. We're 3 hours shy of the first pick in the NFL draft. Only about 500,000 people will be right outside where we are waiting for that. And most people think it will be Trayvon Walker. Our next guest, Jeff Hafley, the head coach at Boston College, is here. And we'll likely see one of his players as well taken. Coach, it's really great to see you. What a night this is. You know what it's like because you spent a lot of time in the NFL. So you're seeing this now from both sides. You've also been at Ohio State where you put quite a few players into this little draft.
Well, it's good to be here. It's kind of crazy walking over here. It felt like there's a million people out there already.
This is maybe one of those rare times where we undervalue, yeah. There's no telling. But I ran into some fans, as I know you probably did, and I call me naive. I said, "What are you guys doing out here for the draft?" I'm like, "Going okay, that makes sense." But there's just such an investment in every pro town, and you certainly live in one.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely. You can see it, and this is my first time on this side of the draft, and it's kind of. It's unique. I've sat in the other side in all the years I was in the NFL, getting ready to see who we were going to take, who someone ahead of us was going to take, hoping we'd get a corner for me in the most part of it. But now to be on this side and getting ready for a guy like Zion tonight, this is special, really special.
I'm curious about being a coach in the war room because there's so many people. And I can be cynical because I've never been in one. And you get down to it, and it's almost as if everything that you've been working on can get thrown out the window very quickly.
Oh, yeah. All the evals you do, all the time you spend in that draft room with the scouts and the coaches. It could be torn up. All of a sudden, the guys you thought you were going to get are gone, and you got to go to a new page. It's interesting as an assistant coach because my first year in the NFL, I thought, all right, I'm going to be in the draft room. I'm going to see how this goes. But then when it comes time, you're not. You're down in your office hanging out with, you know, the other assistants, watching it on the TV like a lot of people are going to do tonight and waiting until you get called up there to the to the other room and hoping that it's your guy. And, you know, then there's other organizations that will call you and ask you for your advice. Hey, Jeff, these three guys, we're going to take a D lineman. How convicted are you of this corner right now? So you better be ready. And it was fun.
And I'm assuming, unlike most things that go on in an NFL coach's room, where, there is someone above the head coach, but on this night, is the owner sitting there with the coaches?
Yeah, and a lot of the teams I was on, it was the owner, the GM, the head coach, and then usually when that pick was up, the coordinator and the position coach would get back. And that was a rewarding feeling, too. I had a couple of first-round DBs picked in my time in the NFL, and to get them on the phone and congratulate them and to hear the excitement and sometimes the screams and the yelling, and that's emotional. And that's why tonight, as I get to sit there on the other side of it, it's going to be a special moment.
Coach, and we are talking to Jeff Hafley, the coach at Boston College. This show primarily deals with the Southeastern Conference, and your team popped on our radar screen. I believe it was in September when you had the nerve to beat Missouri in overtime up in Boston. I know that you're trying to turn this program around. You had some really nice wins. You were in an unusually difficult league. You took Clemson down to the wire. But that game, I'm sure, gave your program a lot of confidence beating the SEC.
Yeah, it did. That was a big win. I don't believe Boston College had beaten an SEC team in quite a long time. I think the Missouri team came in and didn't think it was going to be much of a challenge, but we went up, kind of fell behind, and then we beat him in overtime, and it was a really memorable night in Boston College, a really good one.
I'll date myself. I don't have to date myself. People can just look at me, but I think the game was in Foxborough on this night in the early 80s. I went up there to cover a game, and Boston College beat Alabama up there. Then they came back to Birmingham the next year and beat them again. That had a pretty decent quarterback at the time. But let's talk about that move. So you're in the NFL. You're zigging around and zagging around. You go to Ohio State and do such a phenomenal job that you're out of there quickly getting a head coaching job at BC.
Yeah, you know, I spent 7 years in the NFL as a DB coach. And then I was with Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh, some really good coaches, obviously with the Jets and still with the Niners. really good friends. Mike LaFleur, now the offensive coordinator. And I came to a crossroad. You know, I had some calls to be a coordinator in the NFL. And then Ryan Day called and he asked me to come to Ohio State. And at first I said, no, Ryan, I'm staying in the NFL. You know, I thought at that point I was going to stay in the NFL, be an NFL head coach hopefully one day. And then I just started to think about why I got into coaching. I miss the relationships. I miss the development of the younger player. I miss college football. And I kind of took a leap of faith. I called him up and said, Ryan, I'm coming. He's like, are you really? I said, you better hang up, because if you don't, I might change my mind. So I hung up. I had a long couple of weeks of talking with my wife, and I went over to Ohio State. We had some really good players in Chase Young and Jeff Okuda, and a lot of guys got drafted off of that team. But we flipped the defense around. We were the number one defense in the country. We went 13-0, and all of a sudden I got a chance to get calls to interview, and BC fit me. I'm a Northeast guy. I grew up watching BC. I thought they had kind of been a good team, but I thought they could take a step in recruiting. And we have. Our staff's done a really nice job. We got a really good quarterback who got hurt last year, or else I think we could have made a really good run. We started off 4-0, like you had mentioned, but it fits me. It's a place where, you know, football's still kind of pure. I don't have to cheat, break rules. I can coach ball with kids that go to class and want to be great and do great things after football, which is really important to me. So I'm in a really good spot right now.
People know BC because they've had these moments, but it is a sensational school as well. I have a number of friends who have gone there, including one we were talking about a minute ago, Joe Tessitore, whose son played for you last year. And we got to see that unbelievable moment the year before at Clemson, which I'm sure is the kind of stuff that leaves players and coaches and fans with a lifetime memory.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned Tess and all the amazing alumni that have come back, like Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck and Luke Kuechly and Doug Flutie. I mean, there's guys, and they've won. And I believe we can do it again. Like I said, it's a great academic school. The city of Boston's right down the road. The support's been incredible. They just gave me a new 5-year contract extension, and it's where I want to be. I'm really enjoying it.
So, Coach, you mentioned doing it the right way, which is unusual. Coaches mouth that, but I don't think they mean it. I know you do, because that's the standard at BC, but I am particularly interested about the topic that everybody is talking about right now, and that's where college football is in this new age of NIL, of the portal, where it just looks like, you know, the wild, wild west doesn't really even do it justice. I mean, this is worse than that.
Yeah, it's sad, and it's kind of, you know, goes against the reasons I wanted to come back. But we are. I'm at a place right now where we're kind of in the middle, and it hasn't affected us as much. I'm worried it will creep down. Do I think the players should have a right to transfer? I do. I think they do have the right to transfer if they're not happy or a new coach comes in. I just think there needs to be restrictions. When they can transfer, how many times they can transfer. Obviously, academically being eligible. Should they be able to get paid? Yeah, I do believe they should get paid. I'd like to take care of the kids on our football team, right? The ones that have earned it and gone to class and gotten good grades and are doing well on the field and in the community, rather than all of a sudden, we're just paying recruits to come to a school that haven't even stepped on our field yet. I kind of wish there was more restrictions and more guidance, because I do think it will get out of hand. But I want to take care of our team, because I think the power of the team ultimately, you know, could beat a bunch of individuals who haven't played together for a very long time. And I think that's what we're going to do.
But you're still you may not see it every day on the recruiting trail, but you are going to run into it. You have really good players, and if they have eligibility left, it's possible someone is coming for them, which I would think would be a real concern for you. And what do you do if put in that position? How do you convince someone, hey, this is, you need to stay here for all the reasons you've laid out, but somebody elsewhere is offering me a boatload of money?
Yeah, and I am worried about that. If, like you said, we develop our players to their junior, senior year, and they're all conference guys, and we have some guys like that on our team now, and all of a sudden someone comes knocking at the door and says, I'm going to pay you this amount of money. One, I think with our degree, in the long run, you're going to make a lot more than an NIL deal. Two, I think my connection as a head coach has got to be very, very close with our players. It has to be. I have to have a really strong relationship with them, where if someone calls them, they come and tell me and we can have a conversation about it. And I've tried to do a really good job with that. I'm a defensive guy. In my first 2 years, I spent a lot of time on defense. But now I see I need to spend a lot of time with the team and the players and really connect. And that's what I'm working really hard on right now.
You've alluded to it a couple of times, Coach, but it not to put words in your mouth, but I will. it has to be not only frustrating but exasperating. And this is not something that you can make a phone call and correct. Nobody's listening.
No, it doesn't seem like that. So we have to adapt. And I need to press on and do the best that I can. And if things are going to happen that bother me, they will. And I just need to keep moving forward. And the guys that want to be at BC and play together and stick together for a long time, I do believe if you get a group of guys like that who stick together for 3 or 4 years, that we will go and beat a team that has a bunch of guys that have been together for 1 year or 2 years, or all of a sudden this corner's making this amount of money and he's not even playing, but the starting corner's not making any money. And where you get a team that starts to resent each other, breaks apart a locker room. I believe in the power of the team, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect that. And is it going to be easy? No. And may we have some guys go astray? Sure. But we'll move on and do the best that we can.
Well, just 30 minutes ago, Luke Fickell was sitting right where you are, and he's been able to overcome a lot of the same things, a little bit different situations in terms of the school and the locale. But it's still, though, many have said the model isn't sustainable, but what is that going to do, and how is that going to leave BC in the future as we see a handful of schools who are paying enormous sums of money, and for all the oratory you have, and it's quite brilliant, you're still in the ACC. You're dealing with some
That's
of those guys.
And you're right, and we're going to be playing those teams that are doing just what you're saying, right? So that's coaching staff. That's developing your players. It's fundamentals and technique. It's believing in your scheme and trying to work and have a better scheme than your opponent. And is that always going to be the case? No, it's not. And I'm not saying we're not going to get involved in NIL, because we are, and we've taken care of our players. I just truly believe that taking care of our own team and the players who've already been there, that's more important to me right now. And will I have to adapt? Probably. And will I adapt if things aren't working out? Sure, Paul, I'm going to have to. But right now, we're going to stick to our guns and do the best we can like that.
Well, Coach, good luck, because I really do admire your position. It's one thing to say, to read an index card, as a lot of coaches do, but it just feels, I feel the sincerity. I know people that know you a lot better than I do. I just met you. But I wish you well, and I hope you feel as comfortable with your decision in a couple of years as you do right now.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Jeff Hafley, the head coach of Boston. So good to see you. Thanks. You'll have enjoyed tonight. I know it's going to be a big night for Boston College. We are coming back. Mike Norvell will be joining us shortly. We've had quite a group of coaches in here, and we certainly hope you'll stick around. Long way to go here live in Las Vegas.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back live in Las Vegas. We're 2.5 hours away from the beginning, and we are having really a lot of fun here. And it's great to welcome back to our show. We talked to Coach a couple times when you were in Memphis, Coach Mike Norvell, who of course is at Florida State now. And Coach, it's really good to see you. I know that tonight is a special night for your program, and it's really becoming one of the biggest events on the calendar every year.
No, it is, and it's a great night for Jermaine, and just you know, his path, his story, the work that he put in, the impact that he was for Florida State in the year that he was here, and it's going to be a great celebration for him, for his family, and for our program to have a guy that's going to be represented with the work that he was able to invest.
You know, we followed you very closely at Memphis because, let's be honest, your name came up for every opening in America. It was you had done such a great job there, and you were linked, of course, to these programs. You ended up going to Florida State. And Coach, I'm just, I know that nobody can put a point in history, but what an incredibly weird time to make a move, and the difficulties and the challenges that you've had to try to deal with.
No, I mean, and this is a special place. I mean, it was a, you know, obviously leaving Memphis, you know, if I was going to leave, it had to be for the right fit. And, you know, Florida State, the great history, the tradition, you know, the standard of you know, how that program was built, but, you know, obviously the great expectations. And it does provide a wonderful opportunity. Now, I don't think anybody foresaw, you know, COVID and some of the different dynamics that we faced over the last couple of years. But, you know, for us, it's been about setting the foundation, you know, bringing that pride back to what it is to be a Seminole, and, you know, with our team, that growth. I mean, you're seeing guys like Jermaine that have come in and helped provide a spark in that leadership and really providing the example. I really think it sets us up well for where we're going, and we're getting close as a program, and it's been a real joy for me to see that.
And I listen, it's easy to be a pundit, and I'm guilty of it because I am, when you see a program like Florida State lose a game that nobody expects them to lose, to have games seemingly won. But as I've talked to you, and as you take a closer look, you want to talk about the past at Florida State that we all know about, the 90s, the 80s under Bobby Bowden. But But since that moment in time when Florida State won the national championship, it wasn't that long ago, went to the playoffs the next year, there has just been so much chaos there.
You know, and that's, you know, we had to get back to the stability, the, you know, like I said, building the foundation, the culture, you know, having guys that, you know, were willing to invest and truly just absolutely cared about, you know, representing this program to the standard of how it needs to be represented. And there is a great tradition, a great legacy. And that's what, you know, as we've come in, there had been so much change around the program. You can point to the three head coaches. I know we're talking about, you know, there was eight coordinators in a five-year period of time. There's just so much.
That's insane.
Well, so these guys, they needed the stability. And it wasn't, you can't point to any one person. You know, these kids, they had to go through it. And we talk about it as a team. Sometimes you have to go through what you need to prove you can get through. And that's been a part of this journey. We lost some tough games, had a really challenging beginning to last season. But, you know, our identity is going to show up in the response. And I think they've responded well, and we're excited about what the future holds.
Coach, how difficult is it, though, you come out of COVID, even though it still existed on many levels last season, you lose this game. All of a sudden, it looks like everything you had put in place is beginning to spin out of control. How do you have the internal discipline to try to take a deep breath and keep it from just completely imploding?
Well, you know, we believe in what we're doing, and we believe who we're doing it with. And you know, you look at the first four games of the season. You know, we lost three games with one possession game, two of those games on the last play of the game. And you know, you never lose hope, and when you're doing things the right way. And you know, our kids, they were working, they were building. You know, it was an opportunity for us, and I told our coaching staff, you know, we had to be the example for how we wanted them to respond. We needed to be able to provide that for them each and every day. And you know, I had ultimate confidence that we would get out of that. And you know, our guys were able to respond, and was really, really proud of what we saw. But you know, still you know, a lot of steps along this journey that we have to learn from those examples.
We're here with Coach Mike Norvell, the head coach at Florida State. We've had a number of coaches who have players here in Las Vegas at the draft. We had your former pupil, Dan Lanning, here earlier, who just did, what an amazing job at Georgia as a defensive coordinator, now at Oregon. Coach Fickell was here. So many other coaches that have talked about the problems in college football. And I know your most important goal is to concentrate on what you can control, but everyone is dealing with the issues. We just had Coach Halfley from BC really wonder about the future of the game. Everyone is wondering about it. How are you dealing with the two monsters in the room right now, NIL and the portal?
You know, it is definitely a unique time. I mean, the game of college football is changing, and as I don't think, you know, 3 years ago anybody would have ever predicted that we are or would be where we are now. And you know, for us, it's about continuing to pour into the guys that we have. You know, you have to adapt, you have to adjust. And you know, you look at the transfer portal, and you know, the things that the opportunities that it has provided us. You know, we had we had eight all-conference players last year. You know, seven of those guys were guys that came in as right. Transfers. And so we have benefited from that and being able to to set a foundation, and those guys are continuing to grow and develop. You know, the NIL and the opportunity for players to be able to have that impact and to be able to benefit from, you know, from what they do and you know, what they're looking to achieve. I mean, it is a different age, and you know, for us, it's just continuing to build these young men to go out there and represent themselves and their family and this university the best that we possibly can. And you know, it is a unique dynamic for sure.
One thing about Florida State is there's always that unique season opener, which of course you have again this year. We were talking about that with LSU coaches the other day. And how do you view these games at the beginning of the year? Because they can help you immensely, but they can also, you know, put you behind before you really get a chance to catch your breath.
Well, you know, we actually start off in week zero this year at home, and then we go the next week, you know, playing LSU in a showcase game. And those are the games that, you know, you it's so exciting to be a part of. You know, we did it last year with Notre Dame.
Right.
Sunday night, you know, we're going to have the same setup this year against LSU in the Superdome. And, you know, that's why you go to Florida State. I mean, you get an opportunity to be in the spotlight, to be able to showcase the development that you've had as for our players, for our program, and all those in all those areas, and those are incredible games to be a part of, and we're definitely excited about, you know, doing all the things leading up to that. But you know, it's going to be a special occasion, and you know, you got to come out ready.
And as we close here, Coach, I just want to reflect on a night like this, and just as you've watched, you've had players from various schools come to the draft, but basketball coaches used to say, John Calipari in particular, that the night of the NBA draft was the most important night. I think some fans bristle, but tonight is a critical night, is it not, for every program, including yours, when you see one of your own and you see their name called early?
No, absolutely. And, you know, especially in Jermaine's case, you know, he's such a unique story. And, you know, last year at this time, I don't know if anybody would have projected that he would be sitting in this position. But he came, he believed in a vision. He believed in himself, you know, the work that went in, the continued development, the opportunity that was there at Florida State, and he's maximized that. And, you know, made an incredible impact for our program, you know, and for what our future is going to be. And tonight is an opportunity to celebrate that. And, you know, he definitely, he made an incredible choice, and we're all proud of him for what he's been able to accomplish.
It has been an amazing afternoon here with so many great coaches coming by, the head coach at Notre Dame coming by a little bit later. Coach Norvell, we've known you a long time. All the best. One thing, when you go to Florida State, you don't have to worry about the fan base. They are as passionate as any in the country. They are loud, and they are desperate right now to see great success.
Well, there are great days ahead, and we're excited, and we do represent an incredible fan base, and, you know, there are great days ahead in Tallahassee.
Really good to see you, Coach.
Great seeing you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Coach Mike Norvell joining us here as we continue. I mentioned Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. An hour from now, many other coaches will be dropping by, and we are here in Vegas, just hours away from the beginning. This town is ready. Usually this town comes out about midnight, but it will be 4 o'clock Pacific time when the first choice is made, and Vegas will be lit. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're not done. You can't do Vegas in one day. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. with the aftermath, and something tells me it will be a lot of red and black conversation, going dogs, as Georgia is set for one of the biggest nights, other than winning national championships in its history, as a record number of Georgia players are expected, including the number one pick. We're not done yet. We've talked to so many coaches, from Dan Lanning, the former coordinator at Georgia under Kirby Smart, now the head coach at Oregon. You've heard all the coaches come by. We still have a few more guests remaining, including the new Notre Dame coach, Marcus Freeman. Let's check in with Augie, who is up next. Augie?
Hey, Paul. Paul, how are you doing in Las Vegas?
Well, I'm doing great, since I don't party much and I do not gamble, so this is my kind of town.
I got to ask you a question. Are you making a statement with those shoes?
No, these are actually pretty old shoes. I'm having shoe trouble right now. Can you help me?
Sure. It looks like you've got Memphis State colors on, though, right?
You know
Memphis,
what?
University of Memphis.
They are. You know, it was funny because Norvell was here a minute ago. They are kind of Memphis Tiger Blue. You're absolutely right.
Speaking of shoes, actually socks, can we take up a collection to buy Luke Fickell some socks?
That's the second time I've interviewed Fickell this year. And
yes,
both times he hasn't worn socks. And Augie, I calling all podiatrists, but my feet, I have very narrow feet, so very few shoes will fit me. But the idea of, I can't wear dress shoes anymore, but the idea of wearing dress shoes without socks, can you imagine how that feels?
I'm wondering if it's also increases the chances of foot odor. So I don't know if Coach may go into the locker room.
I do not know that.
Everybody wears black socks these days on the football field. It used to be that nobody wore them. It was always white. So he could probably get a pair out of the locker room and nobody would notice. But that's just not a good look. And when you had him first on, I looked up real quick at the TV. I thought it was Urban Meyer. He's got a bit of an Urban Meyer resemblance. I'm not saying he's a doppelganger, but there's a resemblance there.
There is. Of course, we're talking about a former Buckeye. And it's interesting because all these coaches are different. But Luke Fickell is pretty hardcore when it comes to being a football coach.
Well, you're not that difficult to read. We can tell who you like, who you tolerate. You really like Luke Fickell, and boy, it comes across. It came across the first time you interviewed him, and it comes across now.
But think about this, though, Augie. I mean, he's the head coach at Cincinnati, and I know Cincinnati fans, want to think of themselves as sitting at the adult table. But that's a pretty and they've had good coaches. Brian Kelly's been there.
Yeah.
Butch Jones and Tommy Tuberville have been there. They've had a couple of good. They've had one other good coach, and I just think think about this for a second. If Cincinnati had not gone to the playoffs, where would Luke Fickell be today? He wouldn't be at Cincinnati.
Exactly, he would be somewhere else. But you really like him personally, I believe, and I think you also like Cristobal a lot. Say you like him, but I think you really like those two guys.
No, that's true. In fact, I just heard from Cristobal a minute ago. He was watching. Cristobal is just a unique personality, and I'll tell you, the guy I like this guy from BC too. I don't think he'll be in college football long. I think he'll be an NFL head coach. But the guy that really impressed me, I don't know if you were there with us 3 hours ago, but we had the new Oregon coach on, Dan Lanning. And
yeah. he looks too.
I liked him though. I mean, to me, at 36, I started thinking about the possibilities if he's successful. You hear me loud and clear on that, don't you?
I hear you loud and clear, but you know, maybe it's because I'm older now. I look upon youth with a lot of suspicion. But that's just me, and it's because I'm older.
I understand that. I've gone through that phase, but I'm now back to liking youth again. I've gone through my curmudgeonly era.
I just want to say this. I absolutely agree with what Jim has said. It's becoming a love fest, but he was on fire today. He's right. JK, that guy is boring. He's absolutely boring, and I think we should do a petition to ban him for at least 3 weeks.
Well, here, as I close this call, one-hit wonder doesn't describe him because he's never had a hit. Hey, thanks, Augie. Legend is next.
Black Cat in the house, baby. My boy in Vegas. What you doing,
Vegas? Legend, can you imagine being here with you hitting the tables at night?
Oh, man, I was just there a couple weeks ago, man. I wish I'd have planned it to come when you was there, man. I mean, you would have hit the town.
I mean, when Legend walks into a casino, can you imagine the bells that start ringing?
Bing, 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 bing. Legend in the house. Black hat. Red carpet, baby. And then with Fine Bomb. Oh, man, we're going to have to beat the women off of us. You might get a divorce by in the morning. But you know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you look good with that Elvis hairpiece on, man. You ever thought about getting a hairpiece?
Matter of fact, I did once. And I think a friend of mine was in that business, and he said he begged me to come by. And I gave it some thought. He did a couple of models, and I said, you know what? I'm not doing it.
Man, you ought to do it, man. You look good. You look good with hair, dude. You look good. Hey, Paul, I'm a big NFL fan. I've been following the NFL draft all the way back to the days when the coach drafted Art Schleister over Jim McMahon.
I remember that.
I've been a coach fan all my life. You know, in that same draft, we had two picks in the top four. We took Johnny Cooks over Chip Banks with the second pick. So that tells you everything you want to know about the coach. Well, Johnny Cooks, he was decent. He wasn't no Chip Banks, though. He was a good Mississippi State linebacker. Hey, Paul, but I'm hearing a lot of rumor from Colts fans that we might move up in the late first round and check Desmond Ridder, the quarterback from Cincinnati. And I just think that's a dumbass move, Paul. What do you think of Desmond Ridder as an NFL quarterback?
Very, very lukewarm.
Yeah, I am too, Paul. I am too. And how dumb are the Jacksonville Jaguars, Paul? Trayvon Walker, are you friggin' kidding me? This is why you are the Jacksonville Jaguars right here. I'm hearing that the Giants offered them the 5th and 7th pick and their first round pick next year for that number one pick, and they turned it down. Are you friggin' kidding me? You can get Evan Neal and Jameis Williams to put with your quarterback, Lawrence, and have a great future, and you're going to take a defensive end that had 6 sacks on an all-star defensive line last year. Are you friggin' kidding me?
Who did the Giants want?
They want to get up and get Willis. They're not going with Carr no more. They want to jump up and get Willis. But I mean, how stupid are you if you're the Jaguars not to take that trade? That's why you're the Jaguars right there. And hey, earlier Carr asked you about John Metchie and George Pickens in the second round. I know the Colts are interested in Metchie. I think them are some steals. But let me tell Jim something one time, and I'm going to say this one time, dude. It's the day of the NFL draft. Us real sports fans want to hear about sports, not your psychoanalysis from a psycho moron. Shut the hell off and stop friggin' calling today. You've had your quarter of calls, you psycho Bryce diaper-wearing moron. Don't call again. That's an order from the Black Hat. Legend out.
We're not done yet. We still have some big guests here live in Vegas. Stick around right after this. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're getting close to draft time. You know, you may wonder, well, why are there so few people? Well, it's very early in the afternoon. It's 2:50 in the afternoon in Vegas. It's warm, so most people are just across the street or behind that, probably hydrating, maybe not with what they should be hydrating with. Welcome back to, speaking of hydration, Larry is our next caller. Larry?
Hey, man. What's up?
Larry, I can just envision you in Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Me and you be knocking it down, Jack. Hell yeah. Woo! I mean, you'd be counting them. 2, 3, 4. You get one of the little pocket counters. I'd be knocking them Bud Lights out. Jack, I promise you. And we'd be having a good time, though. I mean, you would.
Hey, Larry, of all the entertainment out here, which show would you want to go see?
Anything where the women ain't got clothes on. It don't matter.
Yeah, that would really be tough to find a show with women out here.
Really? What kind of thing? I don't know what kind of place that is. What do they do out there?
Larry, all you have to do is you can get a show just walking down the street here. You don't even have to pay for it.
Wow. Well, I don't know, man. I'd be like a blind dog in a meat house.
Well, come on out, Larry. We're here for another day or two. I got your buddy Mark Kubiak out here.
Hey, Smart, my God, man, he'll run off more damn women you can get. My God, they be throwing things at that boy. Get him out of there, Paul. He's a bad, bad omen. Just look at his face, man, that Smart. My God, nobody wants to be around that Smart. You know what? And that guy you had on Legend of Jackass, man, yeah. Keep him up. I wish he'd quit giggling. He sounded like a hyena. Man, he's an idiot. And I love all them players out there, and I hope every damn one of them gets a pile of money, bro. So let's make it about them, Paul. What do you say?
I hear you, brother. Thank you for the call. Mr. Red is in Louisiana. Mr. Red is up next.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing in Las Vegas?
Viva Las Vegas. We're having a blast. Yeah. How are you?
Great. Reality starting to set in Louisiana. We got the Texas Longhorns and Oklahoma going to be playing us. We're not sure how, but we would sure like Tim Brando to do the games. Do you have any stroke over there?
I don't think so. Why do you want that?
He brings us good luck.
Oh, he does.
Yes, sir. He's been doing Big 12 games, correct, with Fox?
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of Pac-12 games, too.
Right. I went to the UCLA-LSU game at the Rose Bowl, disappointed, but my sister had a good time. We were with the UCLA band. We had a good time because our band, for some reason or other, didn't show up.
Yeah, that was really the end of Ogeron when that happened. That was pretty sad.
Yeah. We thought we were going undefeated. I mean, I don't know how to tell you that, but we thought we were going to win it all.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone thought that, but anyway, we are done with that story. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to the final hour. Where Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame, will join us. So we've had all the great coaches here already. We're back. One more hour to go in Vegas.